finishing up our series called The Summer of the Bible, because if you didn't know, apparently summer is over. Did you know that? Unfortunately for us in the desert, we have many more days of the hot summer weather. But as we, I don't know if that's an amen, Ren. Sorry. But as the kids are going back to school and we get to commission them next week, it is, you know, practically the end of the summer for them. And so we're excited to be able to celebrate them. But as we're wrapping up this series, we have been looking at scripture, what we call the Bible, and how that is instructive in our life. But we've also been looking at a lot of the different ways that scripture has been used. I remember when I was younger, there was a pastor who stood on a stage like this and said, at least from my perspective, this is what I heard, was that the Bible has an answer for every single problem in our life. And I gotta tell you, for the last 30 years, the Bible has not told me what to make for dinner. And that is my worst problem that I have, is trying to figure out what to make for dinner for my family who has allergies and preferences. And funny, actually, after first service, someone stopped me and said, well, the Bible says eat bread and fish. And I was like, okay, but I have a gluten allergy and someone who doesn't like fish, so now what? Anyway. No, and I don't know that that's what that pastor meant, was that there was an answer for every single problem in Scripture. But I think sometimes we can see that as what Scripture is there for. What are some ways that when we are looking for Scripture, what is driving us to maybe look into Scripture at that particular time in our life? And I want you to shout it out.
Comfort.
Loss, comfort.
Encouragement.
Answers,
peace,
forgiveness, hope. Yeah, there's lots of reasons that we open the Bible maybe for the first time or maybe for the 100th time, is maybe something that's going on in our life, whether it be good or challenging or dark or painful. There's lots of reasons we come to Scripture. And in those times, don't we desperately want an answer? Don't we desperately want clarity? And for those of you who've been reading for Scripture for a long, long time in your life, how often have you come to Scripture and it not give you that clarity? Shout it out. Yeah? Yeah. There's lots of times, for me too. I mean, I joke about dinner, but there's been lots of times in my life where I've gone to Scripture and there was nothing that resonated with me in that moment, nothing that told me what to do in my next step. And for those of you who are new to Jesus or new to reading Scripture and you're finding it this beautiful, wonderful space that's just so full of discovery and mystery, I love that. And all of us go through that. And I don't mean to discourage you, but I want to be real, that there are moments where our life, the way it is now in the context of when what Scripture was written, makes it difficult to make those connections of what where God wants us to go next or what God wants us to do. And so we want to be real about that. In this series, as we've been going through the summer of the Bible, we've talked about what is the Bible is and what it isn't. It isn't this magic answer book. It isn't this rule book for life. It is a collection of wisdom to help us live our life in the way that God calls us to. We learned that the Bible is one full story, and in that story, all of it points to Jesus. We also learned from last week, Pastor Nicholas shared that the Scripture is a light and a lamp to our path. And we learned that that light and lamp was actually Jesus and connects that for us. We also learned that there's lots of ways that we can engage in Scripture, whether it be through meditation, maybe through song, through conversation. There's so many ways that we can connect with the Bible in the way that God calls us to. But then also, we learned that there are many times, and many of us maybe in this room have experienced it, the Bible has been used as a weapon, whether intentionally or unintentionally. And we also have to wrestle with that as well. I know there are many traditions, even the one that I grew up in, was that Jesus, or the Bible, was every, there's so many different ways to look at Scripture, and it focused on every word on every page was breathed by God and written down as inspired by God and God's absolute word. Well, that created some problems for how I was able to engage with Scripture as I grew up and experienced more and more challenges. But then there's this other extreme where people look at the Bible and they say, oh, that's just an ancient text, and there's nothing there for my life today. And what we find is that Scripture is actually this living document that helps to shape us and form us. And as we engage with it over the years, we learn and we grow in different ways. We could maybe call this wisdom. So today I want to talk more about how, as we engage in Scripture, as we read the Bible, how we gain wisdom, not only as an individual, but as a community together, how God calls us to live in this world that is clearly broken. But just as we are also broken, how do we represent the kingdom of God here on earth now in this broken world? And so I just want to posit to you that maybe we, instead of seeing Scripture as this sacred thing that has almost sometimes, some traditions can put it almost on the same level as they make a joke of either it's Father, Son, and Holy Scripture instead of Holy Spirit, right? But it's that it's a tool that God has given us, this collection of writings that can help us to gain wisdom to live in this world. Not a tool that is to be worshipped, but a tool that is to be used and engaged with. And so I get it. Tool seems really small, and it does to me too. I've been raised to value Scripture, and I don't want to come across like I'm not valuing Scripture. I want to challenge a little bit about maybe the position we place Scripture in relation to our experience and the Holy Spirit at work within us and the Holy Spirit at work within our community. And so we've been through this series, been doing a Bible show and tell, and each one of us, Pastor Caleb, Pastor Nicholas, myself, you know, are sharing a little bit about Bibles that we find that have been helpful in shaping us. And actually, one of the Bibles that it's fairly new that's come out that's been really helpful for me is actually this First Nations version. It's the Scripture, the New Testament, translated by Indigenous people, led by Pastor Terry Wildman, who's actually spoke here at Desert Springs a couple times, and will in the future as well. But they work to translate this Scripture, the New Testament, into the way that Indigenous people approach Scripture. And so some of the translations are a little bit different than what you might read in your English translation. And I gotta say, this has been so powerful for me at certain points in my life, because true to the culture of the Indigenous people, names have such a value to them that describes the personhood of the person. And so throughout this Scripture, every time Jesus is referenced, they don't say Jesus, they say Creator sets free the chosen one. And for me, I know, because I've been reading Scripture for a long time, I can sometimes really skip over, oh, that's just Jesus. But when I read Creator sets free the chosen one, something happens different in me. Something pauses within me and stops me to start thinking, oh, that's right. I'm not just talking about Jesus, or I'm not just reading about Jesus. I'm reading about my Creator who came to set me free, who calls me by name and loves me deeply. And so this is one of many Bibles that I love to look at and that help me to see God in different ways. And this is one of the reasons why it's so important to be in a diverse community of people who think differently, who come from different backgrounds, who are a bunch of misfits, just like we write on our wall, so that we can get these different perspectives that can open up something that maybe has become stale or normalized to us. So as we look at understanding what is the role that Scripture plays in our life, we actually can see this described in Scripture itself. And so our passage today is in 2 Timothy. It's Paul is writing to Timothy, who is pastoring a church, and guiding him as he's growing in wisdom. And so Paul says, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who have taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred Scriptures." I just want to point out here, when Paul is referring to Scripture, he's not referring to our modern Bible. He's referring to what we would call Old Testament writings, And even at that time, they would not have called it Old Testament writings. And so it was this collection of writings that were shared among the Jewish people. So he says, the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching. And as I mentioned earlier, sometimes we can get really caught up in what exactly this inspired by God means. But as I was doing my research and digging in a little bit, it was really what was shared is that the first century Jews would have seen this phrase meaning the describing the heart and the will and the mind of God. And so not this every letter, every word, every dot, right? Because I don't know if you know this, but the Bible was not written in English the first time, right? It's even written in ancient Hebrew and Greek, and so there's been a lot of translation. So what we're looking at is the heart, the will, the mind of God. How do we understand who God is and what God calls us to do in this world? And so it says that it's inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the people of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I just want to point this out really quickly. What is the purpose of Scripture? To be what? Equipped. It's called, Scripture is to equip us for every good work in this broken world. It's shaping us and forming us as a people. And so, according to this passage, is the scriptures, as it refers to here, and again, that's referring to what we would say is the Old Testament, does it have all the answers? No. Is it supposed to be an answer book? No. Does it have a formula? Is there a formula for us to follow? No. What's that?
There's 10 Commandments.
Yeah, there's the 10 Commandments. Yes, you're right. Yeah. But there's something bigger here that God is calling us to. And if we look back at verse 15, he says, he's talking to Timothy, you know from infancy that you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you, with me, wisdom for salvation. Scripture is to give you wisdom for salvation. Wisdom is a process. Wisdom is something that you gain over time and through experience. It's not a one-time checkbox that we're called to. And so I just want to also notice that in this same passage where it's talking about Scripture is the wisdom for salvation, that also Paul, at the beginning of this passage, reminds Timothy that he has been taught from infancy. Now, he wasn't reading the Scriptures in infancy, was he? No. And if we go back to the beginning of the letter, Paul actually mentions who was teaching Timothy. He mentions Timothy's grandmother and mother. And what's so cool is that Paul actually mentions them by name, which is a rarity in that time that women's names would be called out. But that's calling out the importance of their work in his life. And so he's reminding Timothy, remember who taught you. Not just reading these writings for yourself, but remember who taught you. And remember, you know them. Sometimes we will come to a church on a Sunday morning and we will listen to an absolute stranger. I'm an absolute stranger to some of you. But we take the word because someone's standing on this stage and teaching me, right? And they've got the education, they've spent the time, so they must know exactly what they're talking about. But I want to encourage you, when you are receiving these words from people and these instructions from Scripture, do you know them? Do you know their heart? Do you know their agenda? What's their goal? Timothy's family loved him. We're teaching him from infancy about the Holy Scriptures and developing his wisdom in that and teaching him that wisdom throughout his life. And so I would say Paul doesn't only focus on the Scriptures as a way for us to gain wisdom and how God calls us to live in this broken world, but also Paul points to not only tradition, but also experience. In fact, this might be strange for some of you. It was strange for me growing up. We focus very much on Scripture, but finding out that there are some denominations, their focus is not only on understanding God through Scripture, but also understanding God through experience, through the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, and also understanding God through tradition, which can be a little bit interesting, especially in our modern context. And so looking at Scripture in this whole Beautiful picture, not just in one way. And so throughout scripture, throughout history, we've seen historical figures leaning in on that experience, on the tradition, as well as the writings. So when we're reading our scripture, when we're reading our Bibles, whether individually or in community, are we keeping those in mind? Are we weighing those things together? And again, this is why such a diverse community of misfits is so important, because when we hear stories of people living lives in ways that we have never experienced, whether it be through oppression or war or good things even, we hear and find out who God is in a different way by we sharing those experiences together. It can be so arrogant to come up here and be like, I've figured it out. Guess what? I'm the one. After all these, you know, centuries, I figured it out. In fact, can I confess something to you? It's a secret. I need you to not tell Pastor Caleb because he's my boss. Can I trust you? Okay. I really hate writing sermons. I really hate it. In fact, the weeks up to getting, when I know I'm going to be on stage, I am anxious. I'm a little bit moody. I'm a little bit in my head a lot. And not because I don't love the Bible. I love studying scripture. I love being in community and tables with people and talking back and forth and hearing how someone reads something so differently than I do. I love the study. I've gone to seminary. I've done all the things. But it's so scary because I know there was a season in my life where I've heard pastors say something, and whether it be intentional or unintentional, I took it in a way that didn't represent who God really was. And that caused deep pain and hurt in my life. In fact, there was a point in my life where I could not even pick up a Bible. I could not read a scripture or hear it. It was so painful to me. But you know what? In that year, I still met with God. I still learned about who God is, and I learned it through other people who came alongside me, who didn't judge me for the space I was in, but came along and was just God with me in that space. And so remembering where our wisdom comes from is not just in reading this text, although it's very valuable. There's also experience with people and experience with the Holy Spirit talking to me in ways in that time that I had not heard before. And again, I'm not saying it could have all been the place that I was in, but it can be stressful. And then to come up here and have this fear of something I say may cause harm or may cause you to turn your face from God. Now, that's my issue, that's not yours. Nobody carry that home worried about it. But it is. That's why we emphasize here so much how important it is to be in community, to be in conversation. So as we continue, if we put too much emphasis on just scripture, and there's a lot, some of our Bibles are really thick, sometimes we can miss the whole story. If we just read the book of Leviticus, then we think God is all about the rules, because that whole book is all about rules. If we read just the book of Judges in the Bible, we think that God is really punitive, constantly punishing the Israelites for not following through or not doing what they're supposed to do. If we read only Ecclesiastes, we start to think we're nothing. Why does God even bother with us? We're pointless. If we just read Esther and the Song of Songs, you know what? God isn't even mentioned in those books of the Bible. Does God even exist? But when we take the whole story of scriptures, all of these writings that have come together over centuries, we see this story unfolding. And there's this great image that helps kind of simplify it to see this story that we see in scripture, where we start with creation and all is good. God creates each and every one of us, everything. Then the fall comes, that point where the humans in the story say, you know what, God, I'm really not sure I can trust you. I need to make all the decisions for myself. And I don't know if I can follow you anymore. And so they turn away. There's this point where God gives us this space of how does he bring us back into relationship with us. And he does that through this redemption story, through Jesus' story on the cross. And then eventually we are promised that all things will be restored back to the way it was in Eden, in the beginning, when we were in perfect communion with God. But right now, this point in time in history, we are living in this little spot right here, right in between these two boxes, between redemption and restoration. And so as we read the whole of Scripture, we start to see that this is a one story, and all of these pieces come together to help us to understand more of what God is doing and the depth of God's love for us. So if we look back at verse 15, we find out that this wisdom that we're gaining through this whole story of Scripture is wisdom for salvation, but through faith in Christ Jesus. So Paul reminds us, not only are you looking at this whole story, but remember, all of this is through the lens of who Jesus is. And when we look at Jesus and how Jesus talks about who God is and talks about Scripture, I keep doing that. I don't want to go to that slide yet. Sorry. We have a problem over here. We're in a fight, fighting it. But as we look at how Jesus talks about who God is and the whole of Scripture that Jesus is referring to, we find out that God is loving, is merciful, is forgiving, is relational, is just. Now, if you're reading your Scripture, if you're reading your Bible, or you're in conversations where we don't see Jesus in this way, I encourage you, go back. Wrestle with it. See if Scripture doesn't take on a whole different lens if you assume that God is loving and merciful and forgiving and just and relational. Go back to Jesus, as Paul encourages us, because when we read Scripture, even the Old Testament, through the lens of Jesus, we find out that Leviticus helps us to see Jesus fulfills the law and gives us freedom. Through Judges, we see that Jesus delivers us from evil of this broken world. That through Esther, where God's name is not even mentioned, we see Esther acting as Jesus rescuing his people. In Song of Songs, we can start to struggle with, why would Jesus ever want to rescue us? Why would Jesus give his life for us? But when you read Song of Songs and you see the passion of love there, and you read that through the lens of Jesus, maybe it could start to make sense. See how reading Scripture through the lens of Jesus as this whole story can give us a different picture. And so as we engage in Scripture and as we're looking for wisdom, I just want to share just a couple thoughts about what that might look like. When we are pursuing wisdom, sometimes it requires something different from us than what we maybe learn in school, where we're memorizing facts or trying to figure out what the right answer is. Wisdom requires a growth mindset. To come to the Scripture knowing there's something for me that I'm going to grow from and learn from. And it requires embracing a mystery. We are not always comfortable with not having the right answer. But there's a mystery here, something divine, something mystical that we don't understand that is available for us in wisdom. An openness to other perspectives. Recognizing that we need to surround ourselves with safe people that have an agenda, who are also seeking wisdom in Scripture. And then also having humility in our failures. God does not call us to be perfect. He knows we're human. He knows we're messed up. He knows I'm going to preach a bad sermon or say something wrong from this stage. And it's okay because we're human. And embracing that. And then here's some questions to ask yourself when you are going to the text. What am I bringing to the text? What are my assumptions? Am I thinking about this passage from the lens of a modern context of what I know and not from the people that it was originally written for? What am I looking for? Am I desperate for an answer so much so that I can't see what God has there for me? Am I looking for a quick fix? Am I avoiding the tension? All through Scripture, all through this life, God invites us to a space of tension where there's no clear answer. And that's, as Pastor Caleb would say, that's a feature, not a bug. It's intentional. It's what grows us and challenges us. Am I afraid of uncertainty? Yes. In my case, all the time, I always say, yes, I am. And then I'm recognizing that as I read Scripture. And then am I open to the journey? Am I realizing that this is a lifelong journey and I won't have it figured out even the day before I die? But that's not the point. The point is not to figure it out. The point is to grow in wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It's a lifelong process. And can I Can I embrace that? Can I accept that? So as we talk about finding wisdom in Scripture, and we talk about that wisdom, it grows throughout our lives, I want to invite up Josh and Kelly from House of Refuge, share a little bit about how they've gained wisdom through understanding Scripture so that they can impact our world. Josh and Kelly, thank you for being here from House of Refuge, Sunny Slope. Tell us a little bit about how are you connected to House of Refuge.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having us. My name is Kelly Fine. I'm the CEO for House of Refuge, Sunny Slope. I've been in my position for a little over a year now. And who brought me to the ministry? The Lord. It was all the Lord.
Hello, my name is Joshua Bonner, and I've been a resident of House of Refuge for over 9 months.
Fantastic. Well, thank you guys for being here. Now, for some of us, we don't know what House of Refuge Sunny Slope is. So, Kelly, would you mind to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, of course. So, our ministry is located in the Phoenix Sunny Slope area. We're a Christ-centered, long-term transitional housing program for single men, single women, and single moms with children. We have over 100 individuals in our program, and we operate not as a shelter, but as a neighborhood model. So our residents stay in homes or apartments while they're with us on campus. And then our main goal, first and foremost, is to introduce them to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we equip them also through life skills classes where we teach them about finances, healthy relationships, and just giving them those skill sets that they're going to need to be self-sufficient when they leave our program.
Yeah. So I imagine in your role and the work that you guys do at House of Refuge, that requires a lot of wisdom, huh?
Yes. Godly wisdom for sure. We rely on God first and foremost to guide us at each and every decision that's made through our ministry. We are prayerful about our decisions, and we want to rely on what's God's will for ministry. It's first and foremost His ministry, and we're just here to be faithful stewards in what He has planned. So we're in prayer in our board meetings. We're at prayer as a staff every noon. During our work week, we get together as a staff and pray over the needs of the ministry to be intentional about what is God's will for our ministry.
That's amazing. Thank you. And Josh, do you mind to share a little bit about how you got to House of Refuge as a resident?
Absolutely. House of Refuge can accept all people that are going through all walks of life. For myself, I found myself at failure after failure, just kept on cycling and building up a lot of depression. I was just pretty much 9 months ago, I was just kind of at my end of just like kind of giving up on just everything. I found myself pretty much just homeless and just like kind of lost. I had a lot of things prior, and just with all the buildup of depression, it just kind of brought me to this place. Mm-hmm. House of Refuge was just, it just came into my life, and I got there, and these last 9 months have truly just transformed and just motivated me, and it just, the people there are so caring, and they have so much wisdom and so many things that they want to do to just make sure that everyone that goes there can be successful. And, you know, my life is just completely renewed. I have just such a deep, like, commitment to just fulfilling and growing bigger and better in my own life and the growth and the wisdom. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have done anything without House of Refuge. I give the mission that House of Refuge has started and what they want to do just to help everyone grow and to be sustainable is so big. And there's other programs out there, but this one has just surpassed all my expectations. And I just thank God for all of it. And thank you for all of the amazing dedicated staff that work there. And they just want to see us grow. And like, that's why they're there, because they have passion. And you can clearly see it when you go.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks for being so vulnerable to share that with us. So, Josh, I know you had said there's lots of volunteers and staff that have helped you on this journey. What would you say to someone who might be considering to serve at House of Refuge?
It's such an awesome opportunity to even impact your own life. I believe that just if there's something of a connection that you can just find some sort of like blessing in your own life in any circumstance of how you wish to contribute, There are so many people that come through there with a set of skills or some sort of like business proposal. There's been a lot of special guest speakers. There's phenomenal cooks there. If you guys love to cook, please, you know, it's just an awesome opportunity for you to just kind of get involved with the community. And, you know, hopefully it would impact your life positively as well as it impacts ours. And I know that God definitely just blesses this place. And I believe that God has his hands over this entire ministry. And I'm really grateful for all the opportunities that House of Refuge represents.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And Kelly, so there's a lot of roles that play of people that play in furthering the ministry of House of Refuge, from donors to volunteers. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. Lots of opportunities for you to be involved in our ministry. I would say easiest one doesn't require you to go anywhere. It's just prayer. Be in prayer over our residents and our staff and our volunteers. There's a lot of work that we do each and every day to keep our residents safe and keep them growing and knowing the Lord. So just be praying for us as we do God's work in that ministry. Also donations. We rely heavily on donations, so financial and in-kind donations. We do have a table out in the lobby, so if you are interested in giving in that way, there's a list of items that are most helpful for a ministry. And then volunteering, if you want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. There's a lot of opportunities. And so there's one-time service project days where you can come and be on campus helping us to beautify the campus. There's also more regular opportunities, answering our phones, talking with individuals who are in need, who are seeking housing. We have individuals, and there's groups from your church that are coming every month and cooking meals for our residents. There's opportunities to do that. Kids Club, we have a Kids Club where we watch the children while their moms are in programming. So if you love to work with babies and small kids and just teach them about Jesus, that'd be a great opportunity for you. Mentors, teaching, sorting donations, sorting food. There's a lot of opportunities, and we can't honestly do what we do without volunteers. We have a small staff, and so we rely heavily on our volunteers each and every week.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Can we give these guys a hand? Thank you for sharing with us about House of Refuge. As Kelly mentioned, we do have some groups that go from here to serve meals at House of Refuge. It's actually, if you're interested in that, we've created an initiative called Serve Phoenix, that taking people who here at DSBC already serving in great ministries like House of Refuge and connecting those with people here who might want to serve in that way, who are exploring where God might be having them serve in our community. And so through Serve Phoenix, we connect you guys together. And so you can try it with somebody who already knows the ropes, because sometimes that's the most scary thing, right, is to try something new for the first time all by yourself. But besides House of Refuge, also through Serve Phoenix, you can work with foster care. We have speaking English with refugees or teaching English with refugees. There's so many opportunities. There's hospice care and St. Vincent de Paul. There's lots more. There's a website on our website. Go to Serve Phoenix if you want to find out more, or if you're just curious, fill out the form and you get to talk to our lovely coordinator, Diane, who can help you get connected. But also, that's one way to serve and hear these stories and gain wisdom to understand how God is at work in our world and how God calls us to live. But also, as I talked about before, coming together in community. And so if you're looking for a community to wrestle with scripture together, maybe to even wrestle with things that we say here on the stage on Sunday and wrestle together during the week, I want you to encourage you to check out our community groups that we're launching in September. We're getting ready to do trainings for our community group leaders so that we can provide spaces that are hospitable, that are trauma-informed, that are open, that are safe, that are comfortable with all the questions and don't feel panicked or freaked out that maybe you're not sure if God is even real. We do a training to make sure that we create spaces that everybody can be a part of. And so if you're interested in that, you can check out more in your handout. Now, would you join me as I pray? God, you are so good. Thank you that you engage with us in so many ways because of your love and your desire to be in relationship with us. I pray that as we continue to seek you, that our eyes be open. Eyes be open to what you're calling us to, or even just open to a space to sit and be present with you. I pray that as we continue to grow in wisdom as a community, that we would have wisdom in how to serve our community as a whole, that we would continue to be your hands and feet, to show a broken world what abundant life can look like by following your son Jesus, by following the way of Jesus. I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for that, Pastor Don. In just a few moments, we will sing a song of doxology, and after that, our prayer team will be here to pray with you if you'd like to pray. And if you can't make it to the front, please just lift your hand and they'll meet you at your seat. Would you stand with me as we sing a song that has been sung by misfit churches for centuries? Doxology goes like this. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. May the love of the Father, the hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with you today and every day. God bless y'all. We'll see you next time.